Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
To ace that job interview and actually get the job? In today's episode, we'll give you some tips on how you can perform well in a job interview. You will also learn useful words and phrases related to business English.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and...
engrossing
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding your bike, trying some new microbrews, or even...
camping.
I'm joined here in the global studio by the one and only, the most lekker teacher in all of South Africa, Kase.
Hey, Ethan. Hey, guys.
So... have you been camping recently, Kase? Is that why you said it'd be a good chance to listen to the podcast?
Yeah, I actually went camping last weekend, and it was really nice. It was really cold because it's winter here right now. So we went camping at the seaside, and I know it doesn't sound like a smart thing to do in winter, but it was really beautiful and so peaceful. Of course, we couldn't go swimming because... the water is icy cold here, but it was very nice to be out in nature.
Did you see any interesting animals?
Yeah, that part of the coastline has a lot of beautiful birds. Mm. Not a lot of other animals, I don't think, but yeah, gorgeous birds, different colors and sizes. And...
penguins, how about?
Oh, no penguins on that side of the coastline.
South Africa has penguins, right?
Yeah, we do have penguins. but they are mostly, there's one particular beach that has a bunch of penguins. Like the beach is actually reserved for penguins. So when I say that, I mean like it's actually controlled. So yeah, this is a thing that people also don't know about South Africa, is we actually have penguins here who live here. Yeah.
And did you roast marshmallows over a campfire?
We do that, yes. I know there's an American thing that, I don't know if it's only American, but I've only ever seen it on TV, like making s'mores. Is that how you
say it?
That's
a super American thing.
Yeah.
S'mores. Do you know why they're called s'mores?
Because you want some more.
That's it, yeah. So it's actually like a connected speech. Like yeah. It was some more, been kind of like crunched together, s'more.
See, I learned everything I know about America from TV. I heard someone say that in a movie, I think, s'more. It's because you want some more.
That makes sense, right?
It looks delicious, and I've always wanted to try it, and we just never do it. It's like, why are you trying to be American? Just eat your marshmallow and keep quiet.
Do you have the graham crackers?
We have a similar type of biscuit, as we would say. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it would taste authentic.
The problem in most places is that you can't get the graham cracker, which is like the outside part. We'll have to put like a picture in the show notes in case people have never seen a s'more so they can see what it is. But it's graham cracker, marshmallow, like roasted marshmallow. Mm-hmm. This is why you do it camping, because you do that over the fire. And then a piece of chocolate. It's supposed to be like Hershey's chocolate traditionally, but I'm not a big fan of Hershey's chocolate. And then another graham cracker, and you make like a sandwich. You smoosh it all together because the marshmallow's hot. It like melts the chocolate. Mm-hmm. And so it's super tasty.
I really want to try it. It's like something that I've been telling myself. Next time we go camping, have like everything ready and make some s'mores.
You definitely have to do it. And did you guys do like a braai there?
Ah, we did. We had braai on the first night. So I was actually thinking after we had the braai, because we, you know, put all the meat on the fire, the salads are prepared beforehand. And then after, everyone dishes their plate and they sit around the fire and they, you know, chat while they're eating their meat. And then I remembered, mm-hmm. like, I think like the Brazilian style is a lot better because, you know, you're eating sort of as the meat comes off the fire and you're not waiting mm-hmm. around for everyone to like, I mean, for all of the meat to be prepared. You're just enjoying it as the meat comes off. You're enjoying some meat and then you're eating something else. And I found that I prefer that way because you're not waiting a long time before you actually eat the meat. So, yeah, I know you don't eat meat, but I mean, the social aspect of it, like, right. you can just enjoy each other's company that, you know, instead of having one person just standing there, you know, grilling meat the entire time. And, oh, actually, wait, that's exactly what happens. Either way. But I think it's like, yeah, you're eating throughout. That's what I mean. Like, you're enjoying the braai mm-hmm. pot throughout. You're not just sitting and waiting for the meat.
Yeah. I think the American style is more similar to the South African style.
Mm.
So it's like the grill master and everyone else has to wait.
Just waiting. Like, when is this over? I'm hungry. So, yeah.
When can I eat?
Yeah.
So today's podcast, we're talking all about job interviews. Has nothing to do with camping, but, you know, maybe you got a new job and to celebrate, you want to go camping over the weekend, or it's a nice break once you're working to get out in nature. So that said, we're going to be giving you 5 different tips, at least 5, it might be more actually, to help you to ace your next job interview. What does that mean, by the way, to ace a job interview?
If you ace anything, you do it successfully. You do it very well, and you end up successful in the end.
Yeah, it's like that probably comes from, I'm not sure if you guys use the same grading system as in the USA, but we have like, you can get A, B, C, D, or F. I don't know what happened to E. We skipped the E. And if you get an A is the best grade, so A becomes like ace. Mm-hmm. And so it's like if you aced your exam, for example, it means you got an A.
Yeah, it's the same here. I think it's changing, though. I believe that now the grading is out of 5, and 5 would be the top score that you could get.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's more or less the same thing, right? Because we have 5 letters. So it wouldn't be too confusing for students to change over to that, I suppose. So before we get into today's main topic, though, we're going to share some interesting interview stories of our own. So, Kase, do you have any funny or awkward interview stories that you can share with our listeners?
Okay, so this one is a little bit embarrassing.
It sounds bad.
Yeah, it is. I had, in my experience, because I worked as a journalist, and after I worked as, you know, at a TV station, I was really interested in getting into, it was a small community TV station. I wanted to get into, like, bigger broadcasters, and I had a bunch of great interviews. One in particular I was so excited about. It was a health TV show. And I think it was called Doctor's Orders or something like that. And the interview was very stressful. And I think I was wearing a shorts. It was summer. Don't ask me why I was wearing a shorts to a job interview. Oh my gosh. I was wearing a shorts, and I went to sit down. It was a plastic chair. And I started sweating, and my thighs were a bit sweaty, and my legs were quite sweaty. And I remember when I stood up to shake someone's hand, that person looked at the chair, and I looked back at the chair, and it was so wet. And I think she must have thought that I probably, she didn't think it was sweat. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, she just looked at me wide-eyed, and she was like, nice to meet you, but she didn't seem impressed with me at all, like, after seeing the wet seat. I was so embarrassed. So that was my most awkward job interview.
I can imagine, because in a job interview, it's such a high-pressure situation that even if it's not hot out, you might already be sweating, right? That's a really great story. It makes it definitely grateful nowadays that a lot of interviews are virtual, right?
Exactly. Here, it's quite normal. I must just add, it's quite normal for people to go to interviews in either, you know, shorts. Oh, I wouldn't say that. That makes it, it's not a norm. I think it's just depending on the company. This is a TV station. I had quite a formal, you know, shirt, you know, blouse with a nice jacket and a shorts. It was very, mm-hmm. I look professional, I think. But it wasn't the right choice to wear shorts that day. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I mean, I don't have that good of as I should have gone first, because I don't have as good of a story, I don't think, as you, because I haven't been interviewed that many times in my life, because, like, I've been an entrepreneur most of my life. But when I was younger, I do remember that, like, one of the earlier job interviews that I had, it was actually to work in a candy store owned by a friend of my mom. And I had, like, just gotten my eyebrow pierced. And so she, like, the interview went really well and everything. But then she's just like, the only thing is, like, you know, you're going to have to get rid of that. I was like, no, I just got it. Like, so yeah, I tried getting a clear piercing,
mm-hmm.
like, so it's like less noticeable.
Like a bar?
Yeah, they have these like clear plastic thing. So it's like basically if you have like a job or something that doesn't allow you to have one of these piercings, you can replace it with one of those. But the problem is it doesn't it didn't have like a screw or something. So yes. Like at night, because it was still healing, it would always like get pushed out, and it ended up just not being worth it. So my piercing only lasted a few months.
Yeah. And did you get it re-pierced? Or you just left it after that?
Oh, gosh. I just left it. I didn't think it was worth having to go through again, you know, like getting it pierced and everything just to, you know, a future job might make me get rid of it again or something. So I took that as a sign from the universe that I was not meant to have an eyebrow piercing.
I thought maybe as like a sign of rebellion, you know, once you became an entrepreneur, you like, you know, I'm just getting my eyebrow pierced again. Like, yeah, there you go. No more job interviews for me.
Yeah, I should, right? Get the eyebrow, the lip, the nose, the tongue, just like the whole, everything done.
Yeah, no one's telling me what to do.
So actually it might be a good tip if like, you know, maybe wait to get any face piercings until after, you know, you've landed the dream job.
Exactly. I agree. I don't know what it's like. I know some countries are very conservative and I think that would be a big no, but I also think it depends on the industry you're in. Cause I think, you know, if you're going for like a more artsy creative position, I don't think it would be that big of a problem. Maybe corporate or, you know, when you're dealing with clients face to face. Yeah. That could be a problem.
Yeah. Luckily, like that's slowly changing, I believe, but it's definitely a shame because it's like, it is a part of how people express their individuality, right? So it's a shame to see that a lot of companies won't look deeper than, you know, what's on the surface, mm-hmm. in some sense, to actually see like, who is this person? What are the skills that they have? What can they bring to the table? Who are they as like a, you know, as an individual, as a creative? And they're just judging them, like we'd say, judge a book by its cover, right? So, and before we move into the tips, I did have to rewind to something because I thought it was interesting that you said you were wearing a shorts. So you're using a plural word, but you're using a singular article.
Yeah, I meant to say a pair of shorts because we would say a pair of jeans or pair of trousers. So shorts have two legs. So, I actually, to be honest, I've never really, I know there's an answer to this. And I feel like, you know, as a kid, maybe I asked that question out of curiosity. Why do we say jeans when it's only one gene? yeah, I think it's the same as it's.
That is confusing. I would say shorts as like uncountable. So like I'm wearing shorts. But you also would say like a pair of shorts, but that sounds like you have like two of them, right? Like you, I don't know, if you said I bought a pair of shorts.
You're thinking two.
You might logically think like, okay, you bought, you know, two, right? But it's just one, I think, because exactly what you're saying, it's referring to the two legs. But then we don't say a pair of shirts. Like if you say a pair of shirts or a pair of t-shirts, you would be referring to two, right? Even though they have two armholes. So don't know who came up with this.
Would you say like a pair of underwear? Because I think we say that, right?
Yes, a pair of underwear.
Wow, I don't know. You're reminding me of basic things now, but I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that.
English has all these oddities, right? So, dear learner, you're not alone. We are also perplexed.
I think I should say, like, think of it like shoes. Like, you're not ever going to buy one shoe. You're going to buy shoes. And it's a pair of shoes. And it's the same with your jeans. You're not going to buy one leg. You're going to buy a pair of those. You know, it's going to be two. So think of it in the same way.
You're going to have two legs on your jeans.
Yeah.
For most people. But then it's like, how come with a t-shirt, you know? Because you're not buying a t-shirt with one arm, right?
Mm-hmm. Maybe the lower half of your body.
The lower half. Pretty much always in pairs, unless it's a skirt. A pair of skirts would be two skirts. Yeah, because it has one hole. So strange. So that said, we're going to move from, we've talked about camping, we've talked about clothes, let's move into into the office. So for today's main topic, all about at least five tips to help you to pass or to ace your next job interview. So Kase, what is the first dynamo tip that we have for the listeners?
The first tip is to research your potential employer. So before the interview, research the organization so you can be knowledgeable about its accomplishments, goals, and mission. Browse the company's website to learn about its history, recent announcements, executive officers, values, and culture. Then search for recent news about the organization to study its latest achievements and future goals.
Yeah, this is a super important one, is that you have to think of the company like each company is unique, you know, and not have the same strategy for each company that you apply to. And I think beyond that too, you shouldn't just settle for working for any company, because ultimately I think it's a little bit like dating in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you're not going to probably the first person you go on a date with, it's probably not going to, you know, be the person you're going to get married to, because that's why a lot of people they're searching for like a very long time. And they even say, you know, that it comes along when you least expect it, but it's kind of like there has to be a certain level of compatibility for it to work. And I think it's people oftentimes just think like, oh, you know, if the salary is good, then I should take the job. But there's so many other things you should look at. You should see if the values of the company align with your own. You should see, you know, if what they're doing, does it matter to you? Like, are they actually creating something good in the world that you'll be proud of the work that you're doing? And will you have opportunities to grow, you know, as an individual, to learn things, to be challenged, because you don't want to take a job because it offers great salary, but then just be bored out of your mind because, you know, you don't actually like the work that you're doing.
I think that, you know, I've fallen into that trap. And just to add to what you're saying, I've accepted job offers where I didn't really feel passionate about the company. I mean, I didn't feel passionate about what they were doing, but I felt that the salary was good. And I thought that maybe I'd grow to love this person. Eventually we would find each other somewhere in the middle. And I wasted a lot of time. I did that with a couple of companies. I wasted maybe 4 years of my life where I could have been, you know, rather actively searching for something that matched my interests, my passions, my personality. And I wasted a lot of time like that. And I don't, you know, listeners, yeah. I hope that you don't fall into that same trap. It's really a waste of time. You don't want to feel like that.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And me, like on the other side of things, you can really tell when you're interviewing someone and you know that they haven't, you can clearly see that they haven't done their homework. And that obviously it shines really poorly upon you as a candidate for a job, because if you haven't really understood, like, you know, what do we do as a company? What different products are we creating, or what are the different types of content that we're doing and things like this? And it's kind of like you want to work, it shines poorly upon you because it's like you want to work at a company you don't even really know what we do. You haven't like taken an interest to see, you know, would you enjoy working in this company? And so I think that's really important. I think it sticks out a lot. If you're a candidate who, you know, you're able to say like, oh, you know, I watched such and such video from your social media, or I read this article on your blog about blah, 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 blah. It's kind of, it shows like, oh, you're actually genuinely interested in this. You've actually taken some time to see what we're doing. So I think that that's important. And again, it's like, if you're not doing that, I think you need to do that for yourself too, to see like, is this the place that's right for me? And you said before, like, it can be interesting to search news about the organization. I think too, like social media, like I said, to see what kind of things they've been achieving, or what were their latest achievements. So what are achievements, Kase?
Achievements are successes or goals that someone has reached. In this case, the company. What has the company done recently that they are proud of, or something that they are maybe showcasing on their website? Like maybe they just made it into the top 10 best companies in the country, or I don't know, they're doing really well, they're really profitable this year. I don't know, it depends on the company, but achievements would be successes that the company has attained.
I think too, on the other side of that, it could be interesting to look at what is the company struggling with, or what problems have they encountered recently in the context of how might your skill set or your knowledge actually help them to overcome that. That definitely like makes you stick out as an asset for the company.
What can I bring? What am I able to bring or add to the company? And in terms of, as Ethan said, achievements and I guess weaknesses of the company. I mean, I wouldn't call it, don't go into the interview telling them about their weaknesses. Don't use that word. But maybe just, you know, think of it as an opportunity to show your skills and how you can, you know, even how you can contribute to future success. So, Ethan, what's the next tip?
So next, you should review the job description. I guess this could even be the first one because it's probably where you're going to find out about the job. But don't just roll through it real quick and like hit the apply button. It's like, again, it's really saying, you know, is this a mutual fit? I mean, you're going to probably go through an interview process to see, does the company think that you're fit for the position? But you should also, before that, be doing your homework to see, is this company a fit for me? So really going through it and paying attention to different things. So you can study the job listing so that you're prepared to explain your fitness for the job's roles and responsibilities during the interview, and pay attention to keywords such as the required skills and experience, and focus on the responsibilities that a successful candidate will have. Consider how your qualifications and goals align with the description so that you can discuss relevant examples with the hiring team.
Ethan, what does it mean to align your goals with the description? What does that mean?
That's really a really great expression. So align, it's spelled weird, right? It's L-I-G-N, but I like to think of it like L-I-N-E, line, that you're like getting two lines in parallel or something, you know, so that they're going in the same direction. So if your goals align with the company's goals, it means basically they're going in the same direction. So that's, again, it's really great to, sometimes in the job description, it'll say, you know, we're looking for a designer to help us to increase the perceived value of our brand with customers. And so, you know, you could say like, oh, well, I have X, Y, and Z design experience for these other companies, or, you know, for these projects that I've worked on that could help the company to achieve this goal. So I think seeing those kind of things, again, they're really important for you to see, you know, maybe this isn't actually like a job that you would enjoy doing. And so that's a good reason to say like, okay, actually I shouldn't apply for this one, or to say like, oh, I would really love to be part of this project. That would be a great challenge for me. And to really think about what's the experience that you have and how can you justify once you get to an interview or an application, why you would be the right person for the job.
Exactly. I was thinking about, you know, we're talking a lot about, you know, whether this job matches your personal goals. And I know for a lot of people, of course, you know, people aren't even thinking that. They're thinking like, I just want a job. I just want some experience. And, you know, I'm not really too concerned about whether or not this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. But it is worth, I mean, this point is very important because in order for you to get the job, you're going to need to at least show that you have an interest in whatever it is that you're going to be doing. Because, yeah, you shouldn't just go in there and hope for the best. You should definitely research and try and understand what it is that they want so that you can, as Ethan said, match your skill set or your qualifications to that position. Show them that there is a match, yeah.
That's a great point. So it's kind of like if you get called for an interview with a company, it can be really good to come back to the job description and, you know, look for what are those keywords, what are those different things that they're saying here, and you can actually use that same language when you're answering different questions that you get asked in the interview. And I think the same goes for the first tip that we gave, like, you know, before, as you're preparing for the interview, kind of look for what are the things that you're seeing on their website, on their social media, that can help you to really stick out when you're answering different questions in the interview. All right, Kase, what is the third tip?
So the third tip is understand the STAR method. During job interviews, many hiring managers ask behavioral questions to assess how candidates handle common situations in the workplace. To prepare for these questions, get to know the STAR method, which involves discussing the situation, task, action, and result. To use this method, begin by explaining the context of the situation before discussing your role or task in these circumstances. Next, reflect on the actions you took to handle the challenge and the result of your initiative.
Great. So this really is like a lot of what we've been saying so far, but it's great to actually have a strategy like this that you can reference, a framework like STAR, situation, task, action, result, that you can use to in your preparation for the interview. So what does it mean if a candidate is able to handle a common situation in the workplace?
So this would refer to how well you respond or deal with certain situations, or your reaction to certain situations. So for example, if you're dealing with a problem, how you cope, what kind of actions would you take? Are you someone who would, you know, start screaming at your coworkers because they upset you in some way, or do you calmly try and resolve the problem? So it's those types of questions that they'd ask.
Yeah. I think ultimately when someone is interviewing you, what they want to know is like, what would it be like to work with you? You know, so that's why a lot of the questions might have to do with hypotheticals, like, you know, if such and such thing happened, what would be your response or what would you do?
Do you find, I mean, as someone who has interviewed many people, do you find that this works?
I think it can be a good thing to have in mind. Obviously, you never want to come across robotic in your responses, like you're answering every single question in the same way, because it won't seem authentic. And ultimately, it might make you not seem so honest, or it might make you not seem like, you know, you're actually answering in a way that is true. So interviewers, they talk to a lot of people, so they can usually see right through that. So that's one of the things, is it's really important to practice. You know, you don't want to just go cold into an interview. Or even if you've done the research, you've looked at their social media, you've looked at their website, you've looked over the job description and everything, it's really important that you are practicing a lot before you actually have it. One thing I used to recommend to my students is actually like create a script, like try to actually sit down and think about what kind of questions might they ask me. And one thing you can actually do, depending on the company if it's a big company, then there might be information online about how they conduct interviews. So you can see, you know, like with the STAR method, what kind of questions are they going to ask, and would the STAR method be a good framework for that? But even if that's not the case, you know, you can kind of imagine, you can look, you know, back at the job announcement and just try to imagine from there, you know, what kind of things might they want to know about me, about these different things. And so actually like writing out a script, thinking about what is the vocabulary that I'm missing, and trying to think of your different responses and practicing that over and over again. Of course, if you have a teacher or maybe a friend who has like good English, it's really great if you can practice with them. And I would even recommend, even if you don't already have a teacher, or you don't have like a lot of money for a teacher, it still could be worth investing, you know, in just like a couple classes with a person who could give you feedback and say, you know, it'd be better to say it this way, or maybe you could use this expression in saying it, so that you can get some feedback.
Yeah. I know this isn't my story to share, but, I've been working on a real life English lesson, on job, you know, around job interviews. The topic is, you know, how to, not how to ace the job interview, but how to prepare for it. And, one of our co-workers, Brisa, my dear friend, she shared a lovely story about, you know, her experience with job interviews, and she mentioned exactly what you just said. Her brother has a higher level of English than she does, and she mentioned that when she was applying to work for Real Life English, she sat with him and, you know, she practiced certain answers with him, and how she would respond to different questions. And in her case, she obviously got the job, but I mean, it does work. That's the point. It does work to sit with someone and really think about how you will respond to certain questions. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even if it's your case that you can't do that, you don't have anyone that you can practice with, then just do it by yourself in front of the mirror. Look like look at your body language too. See what you look like when you're answering the different questions. You don't want to be in an interview and it's like, you know, the person asks you a question and like your face scrunches up or, yeah, you know, something like that, because it's, you don't want to look uncomfortable, right?
That's true. Oh my gosh. Sorry, I have another little story. I promise it's only a short one. But I was in a job interview with like the biggest radio station here in Cape Town. I had like really fun interviews in my life, but this particular company, they're very fun. They're, I would say like they're known as like the heart of the city. And during the interview, I got so nervous that I closed my eyes and I was sitting like this. Oh my gosh, how embarrassing. How embarrassing. I closed my eyes during the interview. And when I opened my eyes, I could see this like confused look on the interviewers' faces. And they were staring at me like, why are you closing your eyes? And so it really does.
Like, is she falling asleep?
Is she going into a trance? You know, should we call someone for help? But being prepared, you know, helps you avoid situations like that. And yeah, you know, of course we'll get nervous, but definitely preparation will eliminate a lot of that fear.
Yeah, that's the unexpected things will always happen, but that's the most that you can do is doing that preparation. Recording yourself as well, that can be good. Like record yourself answering a certain question and then like listen to it listen to how you sound like, which is really awkward at first to hear your own voice. But as you get used to it, it's like you can even give yourself feedback and think about how you could answer better and keep your eyes open.
Always.
But don't stare them down. Blink.
Yeah, exactly. Find the balance.
Don't go too far in the other direction. Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode. And something else that I think a lot of people fall into the trap of is maybe trying to answer questions, giving the answer that they think that the interviewer wants to hear instead of being authentic and honest and really digging into what is it about my experience that can be, you know, useful or valuable in this situation. So don't lie, don't be dishonest, because they interview a lot of people. So usually they can see through that. Even if they don't, you're not doing yourself any favors, because, you know, it'll come back to bite you in the future. Even if it's like, you know, you lie and you get the job and everything, but then you're working on the job and, you know, they find out that you lied, or, you know, you're not actually able to do the things that you made them believe that you could do. It's not going to be good for you in the long run. You might get fired. You might, you know, have to quit because you can't get it done, or you might just have a miserable time in the job. So it's like, really, you want to find like that mutual fit between having a job that you love and a job that you're great for. So be honest. You want to make sure that you communicate, really, that the person can really understand what you have to bring to the table.
Mm-hmm. I was actually thinking about the fact that, I mean, we spoke about the questions, the behavioral questions, for example, or the way that you would handle certain situations. Now, for example, maybe you know that usually you're the type of person who does get angry, and, you know, you're not, maybe you do shout at your coworker. You have done it in the past. I mean, of course, you don't want to tell the company that, you know, your prospective company or employer that, but I think when you do say something, I mean, be a person of your word. If you're saying, you know, I wouldn't do this again, I mean, you could be remorseful, you could be sorry because you know that was something you did and now you've changed, you're not that kind of person anymore. Then I think, you know, if you've said that in the interview, you know, I'm someone who calmly deals with these things, then you best bring that to your, I mean, if you do get the job, you best bring that to your new role and be the kind of person that you're saying that you are. I mean, yeah, don't lie. That's the first point. But also, if you say something, then be that person that you're claiming to be then.
It's a great tip. So as Kasia said, she's currently working on a lesson with more interview tips that we'll link in the show notes. And we also did a lesson on Learners with TV series about how to pass your job interviews with like examples from TV series. So that's quite a fun way to learn about it as well that we can link in the show notes. So before we move on to tip number 4, we have a shout out to a very special listener and app user.
Okay, so today's shout out comes from Ridan, who says, "I am just so happy that I came across such an interesting app. The ways and methods are astonishingly selected to give the best help possible. I love the fact that sometimes you guys are hosting the teachers I truly love listening to, so I can have the best of both worlds. I can't thank you enough, guys, for such an app, and as a bonus, totally free."
Amazing, Ridan. And I think in alignment with today's podcast, it could be really great, you know, if you don't have anyone to practice with, to go on the app and, you know, you can anytime anywhere. You press a button, you can instantly connect to a learner in another part of the world. So you can make some friends there that you can practice with. And that could be, you know, you could use that as like a prompt, like, hey, let's both answer this potential job interview question. Yeah. So that could be a really interesting way to get some extra practice. And of course, there's a little bit of pressure there because usually it's like someone you haven't met before. And if you try out the app and you love it as much as Redondon, then be sure to head over to your favorite app store, the Apple app or Google Play Store, and leave us a 5-star review so we can find you and shout you out as well. And that's it, Kase. Do you want to share tip number 4?
Okay, so tip number 4 is think about your questions in advance. Although interviewers often ask more questions than they answer, most expect candidates to show their interest in the job and company by asking informed questions. Try preparing these in advance by reflecting on what you want to know, from corporate culture and organizational goals to opportunities for professional development and growth.
Amazing. So what are informed questions?
Informed questions are questions where you have a bit of knowledge, you have some understanding, and you just want a little bit more information about what you're asking. So for example, maybe I want to work for Real Life English, and I know that there's this app and that you guys are, working on, you know, maybe launching premium app, and we know that this is in the pipeline. Oh, I know that, you know, maybe because I've read something somewhere. So now I want to know more. Maybe I would ask some questions. So an informed question might be one where, you know, I have some knowledge. So now I'm going during the interview, I could ask you some questions about that. It's not just something, you know, random, like, hey, so what's your favorite color? It would be something that it involves, yeah, prior knowledge.
Yeah. And I think too, on top of that, like, you're not, I'm sure anyone would know, like, don't ask what's your favorite color in the interview, but also don't just like go look online, like what question should I ask in an interview, and, you know, use the same generic questions for every interview. It's like informed is what we've been talking about up until now. It's like, you know, also when you're researching about the company, you're looking at their social media, you're reviewing the job description, like in all those places you can find things that you might be curious to know more about or to ask about. So yeah, I mean, I've done like hundreds of interviews, and definitely it's always a red flag for me if the person doesn't ask any questions, because I always give people an opportunity at the end of the interview, like, do you have any questions for me? And some people say, no, I don't have any questions. And it's just like, okay, you haven't done your homework, you know, you haven't researched. It's just, it shows maybe you're not that interested. You're not taking that extra step, or showing that you're really curious about it. You really want to know more. So you can, I think there's so many things you can ask about. You can ask about, you know, what will the, you know, maybe specific things about the position, what will your day and your weeks look like? Are there any challenging projects that you'll have the opportunity to work on? I really like what you said too, like opportunities for professional development and growth, you know, because, at least like when we're hiring, we love to see people who are really growth oriented, who show that, you know, they want to have opportunities to be challenged and to grow as a individual and professional. So, definitely take advantage to kind of pick your interviewer's brain about all these juicy parts of the job that you might not have seen on the job description.
And the point here is to, you know, find the right questions, really think deep and think about the questions that, you know, you want answers to, but would also maybe impress the employer in some way. I also want to say that, like, if someone is asking questions during, so now they've asked a lot of questions and you're aware that, you know, this person is asking about different things, you know, maybe they're asking all of these informed questions during the interview, because maybe you mentioned certain things, so they're asking questions about them. Would it be bad if then at the end they're like, sorry, I don't have any more questions. I don't have anything else to.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you probably during the interview, if you've been asking informed questions, but I think it's usually not the case, because usually the interviewers, you might not have so many opportunities. So it can be good to have like a few up your sleeve for the end. I think too, it's like you said, like choosing the right questions, because there's a time and a place for questions. So if you're asking good questions, I don't know if you're going to ask like too many good questions, but there might be things that you don't want to ask questions that it's like, okay, you know, you could have found that out easily on your own. Or you don't want to ask questions that, you know, would be answered once you start working, that aren't relevant to you until you actually like start you know, the job. But you want to ask questions that show that, you know, you've done your homework and that you're like engaged in this process. You're engaged, you know, you're interested and everything. And you're trying to gauge whether this is the right fit for you. If you're the right fit for the position is the right, the company is the right fit for you. And I'd also say, like, in most cases, I think usually early in the process, I wouldn't recommend asking about money. Like, when I've seen this in the past, people who, like, very early show, you know, ask a question about money, sometimes it shows that maybe you have the wrong motivation. You're only motivated by the remuneration. So I'd say be careful when it comes to asking about money. I think that there's a place for that, but I think it's like later in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. I think here people are actually encouraged to do that. So I don't know about other, I mean, I've had interviews where, you know, they bring it up. And I mean, obviously that's the point. I think read the room. Like, I think if they're mentioning, you know, remuneration, or, I mean, don't bring it up when it's not the right time to. I mean, if they mention it, then of course it's okay to bring it up and ask questions about it. But yeah, I think, as Ethan said, just it doesn't come across well if you're just, you know, so how much will I be paid? tell me right now. I think it just helps to wait for the right moment. Timing is everything.
And like you said, like, sometimes they might ask you, like, what are you expecting to make, or what would seem fair for you to make, or what were you making in your last job? They might ask something about this. So it's like, if you get to the end of the process, you're in your second or third interview or something like this, and it's, the topic still hasn't been brought up, then maybe that could be an appropriate moment. But yeah, I wouldn't seem just too obsessed or eager with that, because it kind of just shows maybe your motivation is just, you know, financial.
Okay, so Ethan, what is the final tip we'd like to share today?
So we shared a lot already, right? But the final one is actually not about not about the actual interview, but after the interview. So it's important to follow up after the interview. So once the interview ends, you can take additional actions to increase your chance of getting the job. Try sending a thank you email to the hiring manager within a day after the interview. In the email, reiterate your interest in the position and express your gratitude for the interview. If you do not receive a response within a week after the job listing closes, you could even consider sending an additional follow-up email to express your continued enthusiasm for the position and interest in taking the next step in the hiring process.
Ethan, can you explain what follow-up means?
That's a really great phrasal verb that you could actually, like, use and work and everything, but to follow up means to make an additional contact later to get an update about something. So we'd even call this like a follow-up email. It can be really good too in that email to, you know, just again, reiterate, to express your interest, to thank the person for the interview, to thank them for their time.
Yeah, I like that. I just want to add that I've never done this in my whole life. It's not something that is common here, as far as I know. I don't think that this is a common practice here in South Africa. However, I mean, maybe it was just me and that's why I didn't get the jobs. So, I mean, yeah, I've never, I know that this seems like an American, oh no, it's not an American. I just don't think it's South African. Because I know that people do this. I just have never, for example, here in South Africa, in some university, I don't know if it's every university, but we do like job prep at school, and it's a high school thing, and it's also at some universities. I mean, if you're applying, you can speak to someone who's like who can counsel you or help you when you're applying for jobs. So when I did these kinds of courses or classes at the university or school, they never mentioned this either. So that's why I think it's not something that is common practice here.
Yeah, I think for most people, it's not, maybe it's not so intuitive. And obviously, if you're not a fit, you're not a fit, and sending a follow-up email isn't going to change that, but it is a nicety. It's something, it shows like a little bit of extra interest. So I don't think it's going to like sway the person to ultimately to, if they already said that you're no, they're not going to reconsider, I think, just based on an email. But if they are considering you, then it's kind of like, it's like a cherry on top, right? It kind of says like, oh, you know, Kase sent like this thank you email. It's like, so maybe you'll stick more in the person's mind or something like that, you know? it doesn't really cost you anything either, you know, to, I'd say like, you know, if you have the interview on Tuesday, then on Wednesday morning, just to send an email saying, you know, thank you. It was so great getting to hear more about the position. I'm looking forward to, like, if you have any more questions for me, feel free to send those. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. These kinds of things. Very short too, because, you know, you have to always imagine this person's busy. They don't have a lot of time to read emails and stuff. So just, you know, quick one line. And I'd say that's probably going to be the main benefit, is that you'll stick out more.
Yeah, I like what you said. Like, it doesn't cost you anything. You're not going to lose anything. It wouldn't cost you any points. I think that's how I think of it now. Like, you're not, like, as Ethan said, if you were going to get the job, if they were already considering you, you're, I mean, what it just adds, it just benefits you even more. But if, or maybe not, maybe you're, it just, yeah, it's just, it's all, it'll, it just stands in your favor. It just, it's a positive. But then if you were not going to be considered, it just, yeah, it just is what it is. And you don't lose or gain anything in this case. So
I think most people will have a pretty good intuition. You know, if like the interview went really badly, like Kase shared like the funny story, you know, it's like, if it was very clear at the end of the interview that this person was not impressed, or, you know, it was awkward or anything like that, then, you know, you don't need to bother. Maybe if it's very clear to you that they probably won't follow up. But if, you know, there was a good feeling and everything, and at the end of the interview, then again, it's like another way to just gain some small points. So that said, if you enjoyed today's episode, then please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And of course, feel free to reach out to us, send us an email, or send us a DM over on Instagram if you want us to do a certain topic over here on the podcast. And we're looking forward to seeing you next week on the Real Life English Podcast. We really hope that today's tips have been helpful, and maybe it'll just help you to land your next interview. Let us know. 1, 2, 3. Aww, yeah. Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes, like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend, or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.